Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store. Also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, everybody, I am so excited for our guest today. I'm like beaming with
excitement.
I
know, I love a giddy
joy.
Becca. This is like, this is rare.
I'm rarely so giddy good. Like this, yeah. And I'm so excited. But we have Jenna Kutcher scrubbing in today, so please welcome her.
I mean, feel like I need like gloves and like a N95 mask on to be on this show, but then the sound quality would go real down.
I know. You know, we used to do like these bits where we would put on scrubs and all the gear and then before. All of a sudden we were fully in the pandemic and not ironically wearing those things.
Yeah. So.
Thank you so much for scrubbing in. We have been encouraged to pitch guests for the show like more recently, and Tanya always has like a laundry list of people, and we've been talking to a lot. And I reached out to our producer the other day when I was looking at your Instagram, and I was like, can we please, this is my first official pitch, can we please reach out to Jenna and get her on the show? Because you represent so much of what our podcast, what we hope it does for people. So I'm really happy to be chatting with you today.
I said yes so fast because I listened to your show. So like when things go full circle like that, it's like the best. I was listening to Caitlin's episode on manifesting and I was like, I feel like the fact that like I get to be on this show is like straight up manifesting in action.
Really?
Oh my gosh. And it's so like, don't you feel, even when she was talking about like all these crazy things where she, I mean, I don't sleep with like a mirror ball in my hand like she does. That's like next level status. Yeah. But I also feel like there's so many things in life like that where it's like, oh, this makes sense. This is amazing. So thank you for having
me. I feel
that
way too. And
wait, that's a really good idea. Sleeping with a mirror. Well, not the mirror ball because I don't care about that. But
do you want to hear something kind of crazy though?
What?
Okay. So we'll move, switch gears after this because you just talked about manifesting. But so I just had a book come out and I really wanted to hit the New York Times bestseller list. And that's really hard to do. Like it's a really tricky thing. So months and months and months ago, I got this ring engraved. And on the inside of it, it says New York Times bestseller.
I have chills.
And I didn't tell anyone, even my husband, because it matches my wedding band. So like he didn't know I swapped them. And when I wrote my book, I was pregnant with my second daughter. And someone on my team had said, like, just as the baby's heartbeat is getting stronger, so did your book get stronger throughout the process. And so this is the finger that connects to your heartbeat. And so I was like, I'm just going to wear this ring. And if I don't get it, I'm never telling a soul. And the night that I got the phone call, I was like, babe, check this out. And I like handed him the ring and he was like looking, he's like, this isn't your wedding band. And I was like, I got it months ago and I just wanted to stay connected to that goal. And we hit it. Isn't that wild?
That is so freaking cool.
Isn't that funny? And I was like, I won't tell anyone if it doesn't happen. But like, you know, I don't know. It was just like keeping it close to my own heart. But yeah, Tanya's face is so priceless right now.
Because my wheels are turning. My wheels are turning. You have no freaking clue. Like, I've never bought myself a birthday present before, but I think I'm going to this year.
Here it is.
I love
here
that.
It is.
Yeah.
Jenna, oh for God. People who, for whatever reason, don't know what you do, how you do so much, like how, where do you begin introducing what you do? Because you
it's
do
very confusing.
So much and you're now a New York Times bestseller, but where did it start? Like how, what do you describe yourself as?
Yeah. So I'm coming at you from Duluth, Minnesota. So I do not live in a big city and I never have. My whole journey has happened in towns of 10,000 people or less. So shout out to anyone living in a small town. But I am the host of the Gold Digger podcast, which is the number one marketing podcast in the country, which originated in my closet. I literally just recently stopped recording in my closet because of like, oh, I got to get a little more legit for like interviews and things. I also teach a lot of business. So when I was 23, I worked in corporate America. I was handed my 5-year plan and realized that I didn't know exactly what I wanted, but I knew I didn't want someone to plan my life for me. And so I tried to figure out how to get out of that. And I never planned on being an entrepreneur, but it just was like the vehicle out of what I didn't want. And so I became a wedding photographer, taught myself everything from top to bottom. And within 3 years had been named the top wedding photographer in Wisconsin. I'd never taken an art class, just was like trying to figure out how to get out of the corporate world and figured out a lot of ways to run businesses. And so that passion really fueled all of the next steps, which was teaching business to other women, starting the podcast, and then releasing my book, How Are You Really? Which actually isn't a business book at all. I had this huge realization that, you know, I feel like as women coming out of the pandemic, there's just so much need for depth in our lives. Like it feels like we're swimming on the surface and feel like we are busier now than ever, but we go to bed at night and our mind races and we're like, am I missing the point of life? Like, I feel like I'm doing all of these things, but I don't know what the point of all of this is. And so, yeah, I wrote a book during the pandemic while pregnant and just released it into the world. So I do a lot of things, but I tell my grandpa who doesn't understand it, I say, basically, it's like I teach sermons, but on business, and it's kind of like a radio show.
That simplifies it. Yeah, I like
actually
that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, the Midwest, I'm like, how can we make grandpa understand what this is? It's amazing.
Well, so you... When you were, I think when I started following you as photography was like your, that's kind of why I started following you. And I had just actually gone to Hawaii and I shot with Lindsay Roman.
Yes.
And so soon after that, or right before that, I can't remember, but you, she shot you and your husband and there was this like viral moment.
Yes.
And can you talk about that? Because it was kind of, it was a conversation that was so important and you weren't, we see it a lot more now, but it was a conversation that was so necessary, especially on social media at that time, which only presented like picture perfect aesthetic. And I look back on photos at that time and I had zero pores on my face because I face tuned them so much. So just like that conversation, that topic, I would love to hear about.
So it was 4 years ago now. So we have been friends for 4 years, which is wild. But my husband has a 6-pack and I don't know any other way to describe it, but hit like health and fitness is his passion. Business and entrepreneurship is mine. And we had done these photos in Hawaii and we used to spend a lot of time in Hawaii. And so I was always in swimsuits and I am a size 12. I'm not, you know, perfectly toned. And my body had actually been through a lot by that point because I'd had 2 miscarriages while we were trying to grow our family. And so I felt like my body was just in this constant state of like almost and then not really. And while we were in Hawaii, this girl had messaged me via the old DMs and was like, how did a girl like you manage to land a guy like that? And I remember reading it and I was so taken aback because honestly, it felt like she was calling out my deepest insecurity. Mm-hmm. Like we all have those things where in our brain, we're like, everyone is thinking this, even though no one probably is.
Yeah.
But when someone speaks that into existence, it is like, for you, it feels like the like floodlight came on and you're like, and everyone thinks that. So why mm-hmm. not? Why not just say something? And so I sat with it for a few days and then I had these pictures of us in our bathing suits. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to clap back at this because I was like, how did he land a girl like me should be the question. And that's so right. I just like wrote back and I was like, you know, someone slid into my DMs asking me this question and like, we have been through a decade of life together. We have been through loss. Like he has loved me at every stage of my body and every stage of this life. And like, we are so much more than our bodies. And it was crazy because I posted it and then I was going out for a girls' night and I like dropped my phone in my purse and like hours later, it was everywhere. Like Yahoo, People Magazine, like it just blew up. And it was like one of those things where it's like, how is this blowing up? Mm-hmm. And it was a blessing and a curse because like going viral, you can't control it, which right. it's just in its nature. It's like, wow, this is really wild. And then it's also like, nobody tells you what to do when this happens. And what people didn't know behind the scenes was we were trying to conceive for the third time. And so it was such a tender time mm-hmm. in my life for my body anyways. And so then to have my body on a pedestal and have all these internet strangers commenting on it was fascinating, but also a blessing in disguise because it brought a lot of amazing people into my corner of the internet.
I feel like it went viral because it was a conversation that people were so desperate. Like it was something I think specifically at that time, you weren't seeing these real photos or like people weren't seeing inside what the DMs looked like for people, you know? And I think
yes.
it went viral because it was so needed and people were craving to feel seen beyond the perfection that social media presented at that time.
Isn't it crazy though, too, if you think about it, how many times in our lives do we see like a stunning woman with like a overweight bald man and nobody says anything about that? But the moment you see like a hot guy with like a different type of girl, you're like, oh, what is she? She must be rich. Or like, you know what I mean? Like all these things. And it's so funny because I'm like, this stereotype is so funny backwards. Because nobody questions like the fat, bald businessmen, how they landed their hot wives. So why are we getting it crossed? It's so weird to me.
I mean, don't even get me started on this. We could have a whole separate podcast on that. Right? But I think I've been always so drawn to you. And I think after that, like it made me want to stop like over filtering my photos. Like it was just such a, yeah. it was such a, I don't want to be cliche and say like, oh, it's so inspiring, but it really was such a turning point. I think mm-hmm. for so many people on social media where it felt like a being able to like release a breath that we've been holding.
Can I tell you something too? Like when it comes like, one of the greatest lessons I learned in that is like the things that we try to keep hidden are the things that we will likely be celebrated the most for.
Yeah.
And I know you know what I'm saying because it's like that comment of like, I've always just believed in my life that when people see us together, they just think we're mismatched. And so when somebody called that out and like brought it into the light, like I was almost so embarrassed. And I think a lot of times like with this vulnerability movement, like it's almost like our coping nature to be like, here's everything that's wrong with me. And I'm going to say that I already know all these things are wrong with me so that yeah. you can't weaponize them against me.
Yeah.
And I think it's like this fascinating thing because, you know, for me, it's like some of the things that I'm most insecure about are the things that connect me the most with people, mm-hmm. like cellulite and ingrown mm-hmm. hairs and like the dumbest, like a body that's had babies and like things like that. And it's now I'm like at a point where it's like so much more than my body. And it's like so much more about like making other people feel less alone because it's like when we scroll and see these perfect photos, we're like looking at ourselves in the mirror and we're like, why do I have pores and they don't? And it's like our eyes and brains trick us every day into what we think is real. Mm-hmm. And we're missing like what's actually real right in front of us.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than the mom stuff she did for me. The laundry, cooking, and driving. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood.
My mom moved to the United States of America, did not know English, learned English, rode her bike to Long Beach State to get her degree so that she could... I mean, she is literally like my hero, my shiro. Yeah.
Shiro, for sure. That's amazing. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending my mom farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets.
And we got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so that you can send some too.
Here's why we love the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farm, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you can't find anywhere else.
Bouqs is simple. You go online, pick a delivery date, and you're done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code SCRUBBING for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING. Rakuten is a rewarding way to shop and save because members earn cash back on everything that they buy.
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category like beauty, clothing, electronics, pets, and more.
You're already shopping at your favorite stores like Macy's, Best Buy, Petco, so why not be saving while doing it? It's a no-brainer.
Rakuten is the easiest and smartest way to find the best deals and savings. And every time I visit Rakuten.com, I'm always shocked by the thousands of brands that are featured.
Me too. Did you know that Ticketmaster is one of those brands? So next time you're trying to see your favorite artist live, you can earn cash back when buying tickets with Rakuten.
And the best part, membership is free and it's easy to sign up.
Plus, cashback rates change daily, so you can keep checking to find the best deal.
The stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You can get paid via check or PayPal quarterly.
Rakuten has 17 million members who are already saving, and their members have earned over $4.6 billion in cashback.
Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cashback really adds up. I remember I was like so obsessed with this one supermodel filter for a really long time that I was like, God, it looks so hot with this filter. And I was just using it all the time. Remember? And then.
Yeah. You were like, I want to get this done. I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, I got to get this than that.
Done to my face. That's and then I was like, that's what's really.
Plastic surgeons are doing right now. It's like so people will bring in filtered photos and they'll say, this is what I want to look like. Isn't but that
because you just get used to seeing yourself with this supermodel filter. So I'm like, well, I just want to like, oh, and then I'm like, I don't look like that all the time. And then you get like depressed about it. It's like really backwards and really weird.
But I remember that. And there was also a moment where she literally goes, should I make myself look like, should I make my lips? And I go, you're in my mind, I was like, you're so much prettier than that, like than that, you know? And yes. then it was like,
yes.
that's how like other people see us, but we see ourselves in such a negative and like we criticize ourselves so much on the things that we think we need to fix. But like, that's not what other people are focused on. It's so weird.
It's so weird. And here's something that totally reframed everything for me. So there's this story that didn't make the cut for the book. It was like one of my favorite chapters and we just ended up cutting it at the very end. But so I have a little daughter. She's 3 and a half now. Her name's Coco, but she was like 2 at the time. And one morning I went to wake her up and she was like in her little sleep sack and I like unzip it and lean over the crib. And my husband Drew is like a neat freak, like that man, a bottle of Windex, like 2 peas in a pod. And I like unzip her little sleep sack and I watch her lick her finger and try to wipe a mole off of her arm, like wipe it off. And she's like, dirt, dirt. And I was like, no, baby. Like, that's not dirt. This is your special spot. Like, it makes you special. Like, it doesn't need to be gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, profound parenting moment. I'm mom of the year. And she's like, pancakes. And like that moment ended so fast. Well, the next morning I go to wake her up and I like unzip her little sleepy sack. And instead of trying to remove it, she kissed it. And then she grabbed my arm and found a little mole on it and kissed it too. And I realized one, like how malleable our brains are. Like when someone tells you like, no, this makes you unique. Like this makes you special. It's like, if somebody that we love can speak that into our lives enough, we'll start to believe it. But two, when we start to accept things about ourselves, it makes it so much easier to accept those types of things in other people. And so it was like so profound to me because I was like, I cannot imagine like if my daughter came up to me and was like, mom, you messed up on me. Like, why am I this way? Like, I am ugly. I'm not perfect. Like to me, she is the most perfect little being in all of the world. But like, whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever, it's like basically every day that we're criticizing ourselves, we're saying like, why did you mess up on me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you think about it in that context, it's like really sad because it's like to somebody we are perfect. And like, how do we see ourselves through the eyes of like the people that love us? Like you guys do that for each other. And I think so many people listening are like, I wish I had a Becca or a Tanya in my life to like speak those things over me.
It's so true. And I'm sure you can relate. And I'm sure you can also relate, Jenna. But I mean, Haley, my girlfriend, I'll have no makeup on and I'm like, oh, my melasma, like, oh, and she's like, you look so beautiful. Like you don't need any makeup. And I'm like,
yes.
Why don't I see myself? You know, like,
yeah, but I think eventually
I've kind of started looking at my melasma spots and be like, that's character. That's like, you know, maybe I can see it as cute, you know, like trying to teach myself that it's to see myself the way that someone
it's proof that you've lived a life and you've been out in the sunshine.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny? It's so funny because like I was doing this exercise. I can't remember what workbook it was in. I think maybe it was in my Calling in the One where I had to look in the mirror naked and like speak kindly over like my body parts and stuff. And so I was doing that. And I'm like, okay, look, I'm never gonna like look in the mirror and be like, I love my cellulite or like I love my love handles. But like,
yeah,
I don't look at them and hate them. Like, I'm just like, this is me. Does that make sense? It's like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I love this and I love that, but I love me. And that's part of it. Mm-hmm. So now I don't like hate those things anymore. Like, I don't want to change them. They just, it's part of me.
Yeah. You're not like, this is my favorite part about me, but you're also not like, I need this gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just who I am.
It's funny. There's a part in my book where it talks about like how we as women, it's almost like we try to like separate our minds and our souls from our bodies. Like we almost try to move through life as like our body is like something that's just along the journey and not like actually a part of us. And one of my friends recently experienced a loss and she was just like talking about everything going on. And I was like your body is like working with you. Like you guys are one, you're not opponents, you're teammates. And I'm like, sometimes we forget that, like when we're looking at the things that are not quite right. And so it's like, it's just so fascinating. It's such a crazy thing. I asked people the other day, like, what was the age that you first became aware of your body? And it was like almost devastating. It was like 6, 7, 8 years old. Like when you start to realize like, I have hairy legs or like my body's different than other people. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's probably even younger these days.
Oh, Haley and I just had this conversation because she goes, was asking about my insecurities when I was younger. And to be honest, I was so confident when I was in like high school, you know, like I don't have any memories of like, cause I was an athlete. I had all, you know, I, my parents never spoke about body. And, you know, I was very confident in myself. And I was telling her, cause she was like, you never had insecurities. And I was like, I'm sure I had things that I probably talked about, but like, I don't have anything where I deeply think about it. Like hers during high school was her being gay and being in the closet. But, I was saying like once I went on The Bachelor, that's when all my insecurities happened, and I had people critiquing things about myself that I had never had insecurities about. And I was like, what a horrible like shift that all of a sudden people's critiques of me like brought in something that I had never even dealt with it, you know? And I was saying, thank God I didn't have social media when I was, I mean, I had MySpace, so that was just about picking the right song. But I mean, the things that the kids are seeing and what they're taking in and about themselves and what they should look like is it's devastating.
But like it also said. Like, it kind of takes away from like life, you know, I feel we were talking earlier, or maybe it was the last podcast. And I was saying how 7 days a week, I would work out for an hour every single day. I wouldn't skip a day. And I think that part of it is like, yes, for me, getting exercise is very, like, very good for like my mental, you know, state. But there was this part of me that I think that I thought if I stopped working out every day, I'm just going to like gain a lot of weight because I was just used to that. And I like to eat, you know, like I like to eat. And so that was, I think, how my brain was. And so when I stopped working out, I think I went when I got my dog, I just didn't work out for like a month and a half. And that's like the longest I've ever gone. And nothing happened to me physically. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and it made me realize I not the working out part, but the, you know, I wouldn't go out to certain things because I didn't want to eat bad, or I would not go out because I didn't want to like be drunk or like drink a lot and then be hungover the next day and not go to my workout. And I'm like, that's not what I want to live my life for. Mm-hmm. Like I want my working out to be for my well-being and to like stay healthy, but not to like miss out on life moments and stuff. And I feel so sad when I look back on some things, some choices that I made, because I'm like, I missed out on living.
Yes. And you know what? You know what is crazy though, Tanya, about that? I think that's so pure and so honest. And something that I have been thinking about so much lately is like our culture is so obsessed with the what and the how. So like, let's say somebody loses weight or clears up their skin. Everyone's like, what did you do? How did you do it? But nobody asks why. And for most people on their health journey or transformation journey, it's not about the what and the how, it's about the why. And like, I realized like this year, like I had my second baby and I had to launch this book. And like, I had these big dreams. And so my why for my health was so much stronger than it has ever been. And all these people were asking me like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? Like, how is your skin clear now? And all these things. And I was like, nobody's asking me why. And the why is the only reason why these things are actually happening. Like, I want to be vibrant for my book launch. I want to be present as a mom. And it's just so interesting because it's like we live in this world of like before and after transformations and no one's showing the middle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, more people would connect to the middle of your journey, but everyone's like walking through life believing they're the before version. And they're like waiting to live their life until the after. And it's like, we're missing our freaking lives. It's just crazy. But like for your point, it's like, if you work out every day, that's great, but what's the why? And it's like, your why was not right. It wasn't healthy. Mm-mm. And so it's like so fascinating to me, like how we can reframe things. But I'm like, we are asking the wrong questions to people, because I think if we really want to get to the heart of things, like my dad was like, oh, you look like really good. And I was like, all I wanted to do was feel good. Mm-hmm. And like that changed everything for me. You know what I mean? So it's just really interesting to me.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful clean and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than the mom stuff she did for me. The laundry, cooking, and driving. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood.
My mom moved to the United States of America, did not know English, learned English, rode her bike to Long Beach State to get her degree so that she could... I mean, she is literally like my hero, my shiro. Yeah.
Shiro, for sure. That's amazing. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending my mom farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets.
And we got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so that you can send some too.
Here's why we love the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you can't find anywhere else.
Bouqs is simple. You go online, pick a delivery date, and you're done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code SCRUBBING for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I feel like therapy, in all seriousness, it wasn't something I ever knew I needed until I started doing it and I realized how much of an impact it had on my entire life.
I think the thing with therapy that's so good is I think that everybody has an ego. We all think that our way is the right way and it's the only way, when in reality there is no right or wrong way. And I think therapy really opened me up to that. Like, I'm playing therapist in some of my relationships. That's right.
That's how
much therapy has helped me.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/scrubbing today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scrubbing. I have so much I want to talk to you about. I'm like panicking about like what my next question is going to be. But so you were very open about your journey of getting pregnant and your miscarriages and that whole process of like the grieving and the expectation. And I just, on our last podcast, Haley and I watched her 3-year-old niece over the weekend. Like, her parents went out of town, like, and we watched them.
Pictures. Oh my gosh.
I was really questioning everything that I ever thought I wanted in life.
Truly.
So
preach.
I, as someone who went through this process of like talking about your journey, I'm so curious, having children now, like, and you traveled and did so much before you had kids. Do you ever I'm not going to say long
misspell
for that.
Life, yes.
Yeah, no. Yes. We were just saying how, like, sometimes in our society, and people are being a lot more honest now about it because yeah. I think we've entered a phase of, like, being honest and open is more relatable. But people for a long time never talked about missing the old parts. And
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious about.
So here's the thing. And this deserves no caveats. I love being a mom. It is a massive part of my identity. I love my children more than anything, but I sometimes look at people without children and I'm like, damn, like you get to sleep in. What is that like? You go out and drink. There's not somebody jumping in bed at 5 a.m. And like, there are pieces of that. And I will say that, like, for anyone listening, like if you desire children and if you are blessed to have them, like, they will transform your world in 8 million ways. But like, the one consistent theme in motherhood is surrender. And the second one is change. Every time I think we've got it figured out, something changes. Every time I think I have a plan, you got to surrender to it. And, you know, for me, like, I'm a super ambitious woman. Like, I don't want to, you know, just devote my life to my children. I want my children to watch me come fully alive. And I feel like it's a form of child abuse in a sense of, like, dying to raise your children. Like, I want my girls to, like, see me pursue my dreams so that it invites them to do the same. And I feel like women, especially these days, it's kind of like this martyrdom. Like, motherhood has become this, like, martyr story. For a lot of women who do desire more, who have chosen, like, so selflessly to stay home or to raise children, but also who have these, like, deeper desires of, like, there's more that I want to do in my life. And I feel like it's been a really interesting journey for me because, like, I genuinely, like, pumped the brake pedal when I finally got pregnant with Coco, because in our story of loss, I had to, like, figure out, like, what kind of mom do I want to be and how do I want to move through motherhood? And I feel like my losses were, like, my greatest teachers, because I was not running a sustainable business. I was working around the clock. I wasn't taking care of myself. Like, there are so many warning lights in my life that I was ignoring. And so I feel like my season of waiting, like, I did not waste it because I was working towards building a business that could support the type of mom that I wanted to be. And you know, it's really interesting because I'm super fortunate. Like, I am so privileged. My husband is a stay-at-home dad. So like, it is just like, we are in it together, but it's different. You know, like when my book came out, like, I was on the Today Show and 20 minutes later, I'm nursing a baby and, like, up in the middle of the night. And like, there are parts of me where I'm like, this would have been so much easier if I came by myself, but it is so much richer to share with my family. And so my sister is about to have a baby and I'm like, girlfriend, like, sleep in, like, do all these things, because all those annoying things that people tell you, you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's the beauty of it. I like love being a mom because I learn so much. Like, I am constantly stretched and, I feel like I am challenged at a higher level of, like, what do I want the future to be for these kids? Because the world is a crazy place right now. And so, yeah, it's really interesting, but it's a juggle, and it's the mental load of motherhood is something that nobody talks about. And it's like, even when I'm, like, fully invested in my work, I'm like, okay, did they eat? Are they napping? Do they need milk? Is everything okay? And like, I never fully lose that part of it, even when I'm, like, fully invested in my work. So it feels like I'm just, like, half in all the time. It's like, we're expected to mother like we don't have jobs, and we're expected to work our jobs like we aren't mothers. And I think that's the problem with society these days.
I love that. I think that's really empowering, because I also think there's like, once you commit to being a mom, then the other parts of you disappear. Or once
I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, because she was saying, and this is, like, such like a superficial way to look at it, but she was saying that her entire Instagram page was her kids, and she lost, like, there's no identity. Like, there's just, go to the Instagram page and it's just the kids, and there's not that, you lose your sense of self in a weird way. Like, I don't know. And then, like, you kind of get to this point where you need to still have an identity that's your own.
Yes. I always see, like, on the Peloton leaderboard when it's like, Mason Mommy is, like, the username. And I'm like, but who were you before you were that? Like, you know what I mean? But I think too, it's like, Drew and I had this joke, because, like, during COVID, we were like, driving and we were talking about one of our friends and I was like, what do you think she does like outside of motherhood and work? And then I like had this moment where I was like, what do I do outside of motherhood and work? And it was like this big challenge of like, who were you before all this? And like, who do you want to be? And something for me that I think has been like so crucial, and I just want to encourage women, like if parenthood and motherhood is on your heart, is like, it is okay to hit the brake pedal in career, in whatever that looks like, as long as you trust yourself that you know where the gas pedal is. Like you can slow down. And like, I have absolutely slowed down over the last 4 years, but I'm getting ready to like hit the gas pedal again. Like I am loving my work again. I am desiring to travel again. Like I have this like fire inside of me that I think my book ignited, where I'm like, okay, I have devoted the last 4 years to literally being there every single night and every single morning. And like, now I'm ready to go again. And I know where the gas pedal is and I know how to press it. And I've got the right support network in my life to not feel guilt over that. And so it's just this thing where I think a lot of women, it's like, you just put your whole life on hold. And it's like, no, your life is beginning. It's going to look different, but like you invite your kids into your world. Don't let them become your world. And I think there's a big difference. Wow, there.
I also think it's so huge, like acknowledging that you have a partner who's so like, a partner, not just like someone that you're married with.
I bow down to the single parents out there or the parents who like are not involved. I bow down legitimately.
Legit. Just the tiny glimpse I got into it this weekend. Like Haley and I were both like, we were such a team. Like, we get to decide if, you know, we get to decide if we want to do that, go in that direction. But it was nice that like it felt like if we did that there was that partnership, because I think that's what gets so hard is like people have children and then they don't have anyone around them helping out. And I don't think it's realistic for like one person to be able to take that on. So I'm the same. I kept thinking about single moms who do this. And my mom, who had five kids. Think
about all those stories of like people that are successful. And they're like, my mom was a single mom of four kids and like worked three jobs. And I'm like, that woman needs the Nobel Peace Prize. Literally. Like, I don't know how that's even like, do you know what I mean? Though it kind of like paints those stories.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I think it, and honestly, it's a really big reality, especially right now with the way the world is. And it's like, man, so anyone listening that's in that situation, we would give you a gold medal. If we
just to clarify, my mom was not a single mom. I was just saying that she had five kids and my dad was super involved, but still I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. No, it's gnarly. It's so gnarly. So
it's also wild for women to think about your maternal years though, too, because it's like, if you think about
what's a maternal year,
we started trying, as in like, how many years are you going to be either pregnant, nursing, or trying to get pregnant? It's like a big stretch of your life. And I think people don't think about that because so like we started trying to get pregnant and then I had one miscarriage, then a full year later, another miscarriage, then a full year later, another pregnancy. Then I had a baby, then I was breastfeeding for a year, then I had 1 year off, then I was pregnant again, then I'm breastfeeding for a year. That's like 7 years of my life devoted to like not having my body be my own. And I don't know if women think about that. Tanya's face is telling me
Tanya says she has also not thought about that.
But thinking about like your mom, Becca, with five children, if you nurse for even just a few months, that's like probably over a decade of her life was being in those maternal years based on how you guys are spread out. That's a lot of life, you know?
Wow.
Because how many years are between the oldest and youngest in your family?
So my sister's 35, my oldest sister's 35, and then my youngest sister is 24. Like so 11 years.
Right there, it's 11. Plus, if she breastfed, she breastfed had all of
us. And like, I think so all of us went longer than a year.
That's like over 13 years of her life when you add on the first pregnancy and the last breastfeeding. So when you think about that, it's kind of bananas what it's women bananas. Are able to do. It's Isn't bananas. That crazy?
Yeah. No,
people keep asking me if I want more. And I'm like, I love the 3 year gap, but if I had three children, that would be like 6 years of like being in limbo of like pregnant, breastfeeding, waiting. And I was like, I can't. I'm done.
Yeah. You're like, I got two. They have a sibling. We're
just like, it is such an interesting way to think of it because like I've been thinking about freezing my eggs. And I'm like, I just, the thought of those injections, I'm like, my body does not do well with hormones. So the thought of having to inject those hormones into me for a month, like I'm going to be a total
take a break from the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to have to do it like when I'm not working because I can't imagine working. Yeah, I can't imagine.
I was on progesterone. Yeah. And I was like, not myself. And it was
like, what were you? Were you grumpy or were you cranky or were you sad?
So here's what was so weird. So it was, so with my third pregnancy, so we had the two losses. We did all the hormone tests. I got pregnant with my third pregnancy, which became Coco. And I was on progesterone and I was expecting to feel like elated that everything was happening. And progesterone actually made me depressed. And I had never been depressed in my entire life. And I felt so gray. Like I couldn't even describe it. And what's so funny is that, or not funny, but Jillian Harris was pregnant with Leo at the same time. And she had posted something about just like feeling so gray and like nothing sounded good. She didn't feel like herself. And I remember that was like my lifeline because then I was feeling that way. And I was like, okay, this is going to end. But like, I would just sit there and cry. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be so happy right now. And like, I can't eat anything. Nothing sounds good. I don't feel like myself. Like it was just really weird. And like, it was the hormones because the day after I stopped taking them, I felt so much better again. And so it was just like, thinking about what women go through just even on a monthly basis with our periods is like bananas, but pregnancy, holy crap. It's crazy. It's wild.
Tanya's I'll be here
for
head.
Both of you.
No, but like, I'm like, literally I've been thinking about it and I was like, I have to do it a month where I'm not working as much because I like literally don't think I like, you know, I need to show.
Have you guys ever planned your work around your periods? Have you ever heard about how you can do that?
Oh, I've planned I used to plan everything around my period.
I will say I'm really fortunate. My periods are very like, they're annoying. Like it's like, and I can tell like my irritability, but it's always pretty consistent. But I know Tanya, like her cramps and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I would be so.
No, but it's not even that. Like it's the different phases of your cycle and like tapping into like the benefits of them. Like your follicular phase is like is the period of time where you're just like on it. Like you can really like get shit done. And so that's when I try and like stockpile.
You should schedule all your podcasts. I'm like, sorry, I can't show up. I'm ovulating.
Yeah. And like that ovulation period is when you feel your sexiest. So it's like, if you want to schedule, if you have photo shoots or whatever, like or schedule dates. It in that. Or right.
That's right. Good I
to
love
know.
It.
Good to know. I want to talk about your businesses because I think there's so many people who are probably in a position that you were in at 23, you said, when you were in corporate and probably just doing, you know, going through the motions in their 5-year plan, like they thought, but like itching for something more. So I'm curious switching gears. What's your sign?
Oh, I'm an Aries.
Okay. Haley's an Aries.
I think our birthdays are like a couple days apart. I'm April 8th.
She's April 3rd.
Okay. Yeah.
Right
like,
there.
I feel like, okay.
I'm just curious, like what was the process of, cause that takes a lot of bravery and also, I mean, just confidence to step into something totally new without having any like background or experience in it. So I'm just curious like how you got from that point, who Jenna was at, in that world to having so many businesses and wearing so many hats that you have now.
Yeah. So lately I've been thinking about like how annoying it is when you see something that says like, pursue your passion. And like, most of us are like, what am I passionate about again? Cause I especially think the pandemic almost brought to light, like a lot of us just like live to work and, you know, we don't work to live. And, you know, for me, it's been really this journey of like, not always knowing what I'm passionate about, but knowing what I no longer want or what like I will not tolerate anymore. And I don't say that from like a stuffy place. Like I'm a Minnesota nice girl, but like when somebody handed me a 5-year plan and was like talking about a promotion, I was like, I don't even want that promotion because I don't like this job. And for me nowadays, I think we have like 8 revenue streams, a multi-million dollar company. And I work from home with my kids at home. It's kind of a shit show, but it's beautiful. Like this is what I wanted. And for me, what I want people to know is like, so right now, and I'm sure you guys know this, but like in the economy, like there's this thing called the Great Resignation where women are leaving the workforce in droves, like more than ever before. Women are literally just like putting their foot down and saying like, this doesn't work for us anymore. And it's no wonder because we've talked about it, like with motherhood and all these other responsibilities, like the way that we have the workforce set up in the US is just not conducive to the lives that women want. And so it's really fascinating because with the Great Resignation happening and women leaving, I feel like we're missing a really crucial key to that. And that to me is that you want to, if you want to get out of something, you want to leverage that thing to propel you forward. And what's happening is,
Wait, say that again?
A lot of women are like, if you want to get out of something, a lot of women are just like handing in their 2 weeks notice and they're like, I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. What I think we need to be doing is leveraging that thing to propel us forward. What I mean by that is that when I knew I didn't want that job anymore, I didn't hand in my 2 weeks notice. I used my paychecks from that job to fund the dream. Like everything I've ever done has started as a side hustle. One, for me to experiment enough to figure out, do I actually want to do this thing? But two, to have the safety and security to stay creative. Like, I think all of us are very creative humans, but we have become so obsessed in our society with putting deadlines and financial gain ahead of our creativity. And like, for me, like when I wrote my book, I knew that in order to stay creative, I had to do it on my own terms. And so I did the whole book process backwards because anytime a deadline or a paycheck gets involved, my creativity gets squashed because I feel like I have to, you know, I owe somebody something in order to collect the paycheck. So like for me in that process, it was like, I want to write words that tell, not words that sell. Like I want to write what I want to write and hand it over and be like, here's my story. And so when I left Target, I had already worked, you know, Target plus building my business on the side for a full year in order to have the safety and security to say, okay, I'm going to make the leap. And part of that is because I'm from the Midwest. Like my parents are like, okay, you're leaving a salary and a 401k. You better have a good plan in place. And for me, it was like, I had to think through every step of that. And one of the things that was really helpful for me is I was like, okay, what is the worst case scenario? Like, what is the worst thing that can happen? And it was that my photography business would fail and I'd have to go back into the job market. I had a degree, I had experience. If that's the worst thing that can happen, I'm going to go for it. Like, and so I think a lot of us are like walking around with these fears. And instead of just asking ourselves, like, what would I do if that thing actually happened and creating an action plan that we could rely on, we're just not doing the thing in the first place because the fear is too big. And so it's really interesting because in my book, I kind of walk through, like, I've lived 800 lifetimes in a career. I had my photography business. I had a wedding blog, like a Midwest wedding blog. I had a watercolor print shop. I have my podcast. I teach courses. I run Airbnbs. Like I have all these different careers that I've done and tried. And like, I wrote a book now. And I think that one of the things that people forget is that like every single thing that I've embarked into, it's been a side hustle. Mm-hmm. My life hasn't been on the line. I've always protected my safety and security with the thing that is paying me so that I can preserve that creativity to create what's next. And I think we're just in this like all in culture where it's like, I don't like this. I'm going to leave and then I'll figure it out. And it's like, we cannot be creative and we cannot figure things out when we're literally not feeling safe or protected. So I don't know. I just am very passionate about this Great Resignation because I love that women are putting their foot down, but I'm also like, give yourself safety and security because we need those things to really go after what it is that we want.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful clean and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than the mom stuff she did for me. The laundry, cooking, and driving. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood.
My mom moved to the United States of America, did not know English, learned English, rode her bike to Long Beach State to get her degree so that she could... I mean, she is literally like my hero, my shiro. Yeah.
Shiro, for sure. That's amazing. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending my mom farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets.
And we got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so that you can send some too.
Here's why we love the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you can't find anywhere else.
Bouqs is simple. You go online, pick a delivery date, and you're done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code SCRUBBING for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Bouqs.com, promo code SCRUBBING.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
It's fascinating because that's so simple, like to think about, like, of course you need to have income to pursue something that you don't have security in. But you're right. Like so many people immediately go, this isn't fueling me. I'm not getting there's no passion in this. I'm going and here's my 2 weeks with like no backup plan or no safety net. And I think that's like incredible advice of like leveraging what you have right now, like what you know to be true in pursuit of what fuels you.
But something else a friend of mine was talking to me about the other day that like really kind of struck me, because I've been in a little bit like I can really be super focused and super driven and just goal oriented. And lately I've been feeling not that. And I was talking to this girlfriend of mine who she's an entrepreneur, businesswoman, and she was saying like she's like crushing it right now. She just like bought a storefront. She's gonna like expand and do all this stuff, and she was kind of going through it. And I was like, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for you. And I was just kind of asking her like, when did you feel that shift and that change? And she goes, I got super, super clear about what I wanted, how I wanted it to look like. Super, super specific. And she's like, once I got really specific about where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do, everything started kind of falling into place and everything became a lot clearer. And I was like, that I think is what's my biggest thing that's holding me back right now, is in so many different areas. Like Becca and I would talk about the podcast. Where do we see this podcast in 5 years? Both of us can't really put our finger on what that is and what it looks like. And I think that's one of the big things that's holding us back. And even in my relationship, like I'm like, even earlier, we were talking about having a kid. I'm like, I think I want a kid. I, you know, and I'm not, I'm not being very clear and like pointed in a certain direction. I feel like that's what's making me feel so like, blah.
But I think though, that's like, I think you do know deep down. And I think maybe you're just not getting quiet enough with yourself.
So, right. Like, am I like the fear like creeping? Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think like it's someone asked me something today and they were like, you know, I love what you say about like boundaries. I'm a big boundaries person.
Oh, me too.
But like, how do you know? Oh God, I love boundaries. And she was like, how do you know if you're like saying no because of your boundaries or you're just saying no because you're like afraid of something? And I was like, you already know, you know, let me tell you this really quick story. So I had zero plans to write a book, like it, like zero. Like I've literally gone on the record on my podcast saying I will never write a book. And it was 2020 August, and it was my husband and I's. It was our 10-year wedding anniversary, and we were in a town of 1,200 people, like literally 2 hours away from the nearest Target in northern Minnesota. And I booked us these massages, and I promise this will take us full circle. And this woman greets me at the door and she's like, hi, my name is Thea. I'm an intuitive healer and I'm going to be doing your massage today. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but like, are you going to read my mind the whole time? Like, what's going on? And so she does my massage. And at the end of it, she goes, can I tell you what came up for you today? And I was like, yeah, what came up? Cause I was like, I'm super open-minded. Tell me anything. And she goes, this is all she said to me. This is what I want to say to you too. She said, there is something you need to do and you already know what it is. And she looks at me and she goes, do you know what I'm talking about? And literally just her saying, there's something you need to do and you know what it is. It was writing a book. And like, it was not on my goal list. It was not on my like year annual goals. Like it wasn't on my vision board. And like immediately she said that. And I was like, frick, it was writing a book. And she's like, all I need you to do is go out and do it. And like that night I like opened up a Google Doc and literally just started writing. And I was like, I am Becca. I'm very much like you, where I like, I'm a naturally confident person. Like I like have a lot of self-belief and all these things, but like, I literally needed someone to remind me, like there were things in my life that I wasn't doing. And she's like, when I was massaging you, it was almost like you were turning your hips away from the path you're meant to be on. And like, I just wanted to hold your hips down and say, stay the course. And it's just so crazy. Cause I'm like, so many of us listening, like, there's something you need to do and you already know what it is and you've known it. You've just like buried it or you've ignored it. And so it was just crazy how like all of that was born, because it's like, I think a lot of times we feel like we don't know, but we do know. We just either don't want to confront it or like it's scary because it means we're going to actually have to do something about it if we say what we want, you know?
Wow. I think that, I have chills because I
have a lot of thinking to do.
Yeah. to do, but I also have a lot of like confronting what I'm avoiding because of fear. Yeah. Because I think, absolutely. And I don't know if you can relate to this, Jenna, because of the natural confidence that I've always had, doing something that doesn't feel safe and potentially failing because of that makes me immediately like go in the other direction, because I'm like, I don't know, you know, like trying something new, like trying a new sport. If I'm not immediately good at it, I'm like, I don't like that sport, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I am with like anything career minded, because I think, well, if I leave something that's safe and I try something that doesn't feel steady for me, and I fail, then that's going to be like a blow to my ego and confidence instead of...
Would you feel that way if nobody saw it happen? Because here's the thing is like social media is basically like a peer reviewed journal at this point, right? Like we are like putting things out. Like if you, there's this part in my book, let me see if I can find it really quick. And it talks about how, so when I ended up writing this book, I did it without a deal, without anything. I didn't even tell my mom. And I just wrote it, and I wrote it just for me. And the importance of that for me was like, I wanted to care about it, even if no one else did. And I think that honestly, we're not that afraid of failing. We're afraid of failing publicly. Like we're afraid of people seeing us fail. And so it's like, what if we, let me just see, there's this part in it where it talks about like how a lot of this work was done in silence. And I think that a lot of times it's like, we want to like show our progress, or we want to like show what we're doing so much so that like we miss the point of like doing things just for the sake of doing them, or trying things just for the sake of trying. And I think that it's like so important. So it's like, here, let's see here. Everything that got you here, the good and the and the yikes, propelled you all this way. It all mattered. It all counted. In the words of Thea, my massage therapist, we just did a lot of work. And my goodness, look at how far you've come, even when you didn't think you could. Keep going. Your work, just like my work in this book, will need to be done in silence with no one watching. You'll need to do it in your own way, in your own time. You'll need to do it in a way that feels right, not just looks right. I cannot promise to give your body a rub down while simultaneously revealing the truths hidden deep within you, or to send a mouse out to scare you into understanding what you've been, that you've been avoiding the thing that you were put here on this earth to do. But if you've been searching for a sign, this just might be it. And I just feel like sometimes it is like, what is work that like you want to do that you can literally do like in the privacy of your own heart? You know what I mean? Like yeah. Sometimes that's the real work.
I mean, it's even like you getting that engraved on your ring and not telling anybody. It's like not needing it to, it just being yours and it yeah. being something that you could hold close.
Yeah. I have a question. Yeah. Just to bring it back to that.
Let's go, Tanya.
Your ring finger, does that go to your heart? Do both yes. of them go to your heart?
Yes, they do. I think it's like the one vein that goes. That's both why you sides. Wear your wedding rings on that. Yeah. So you could do it on your, you could do it on this side. And I got mine from Mejuri, M-E-J-U-R-I.
We love them.
Engrave.
They're sponsoring our podcast. Sometimes.
There we go. Maybe they'll sponsor you rings that you can engrave something in it for yourself.
Yeah.
There we go.
I love that. I'm just like, I've been inspired by you. And after this conversation, I'm just a huge fan and friend and rooting you. For you. And I am literally about to, well, I don't know if it's sold out in my local Target, but I'm about to go buy your book wherever I can find it.
Yeah, I need to buy it too, because I'm feeling like I need to really, I'm like having these internal thoughts of just like asking myself some hard questions.
Yeah. You know, the whole, like, it was so funny because we didn't name the book until like the very final stages. And I kept describing it to people. And I'm like, it's the difference of like when someone asks you, like, how are you? And you know, they just want you to say like, good, fine, yeah. busy. And like when you're with somebody who truly loves you and holds space for you and they like lean in and they're like, okay, but like, cut the crap. How are you really? Mm-hmm. Like that is what it is. And someone recently just messaged me the other day and they were like, I am like one chapter in and I'm hearing my voice again. And I was like, that is the goal. Like it is not a self-help book. It is like a coming back to yourself book. And I feel like in a world that's so obsessed with like personal development, it's like we've forgotten the person that's doing the developing. Like we are so obsessed with like, here's how to get from there to here. And it's like, maybe you haven't gotten to where you want to go because you're looking off of somebody else's map, you know?
Whoa.
Like maybe your compass isn't even aligned. So I'm like so excited about the book and you guys are really going to love it. Like, I'm not just saying that, like you very much will. I believe that with every fiber of my being, and I can't wait to like talk to you. We need to do like a catch up just a month. I want to see the rings on your fingers and be like, I know what's going on,
but you're not going to know what's inside.
I know. You'll reveal it when you're ready. And I think when you reveal it, it'll be like, oh yeah, of course this happened. And the final thing I will say is that I feel like in a polarizing world that we're in, especially for like ambitious women like us, I feel like there are two camps and it's very much either like you hustle harder, you grind, you stay up late, you never log off, or you manifest your way to your dreams. And like my book and like my philosophy is like where the woo meets the work, like where you get the ring engraved, but you also put in the work to make that happen. Yeah. And I think that a lot of women are like looking to live in that area of gray, but they feel like they have to choose a camp. Like either I just manifest more or I hustle harder. And it's like, no, we are like really driven women these days and we're so ambitious. So it's like, if we get crystal clear on what it is that we want, we also have to be just as willing to like lace up the sneakers and like move towards it. Even if it's in a way that isn't impressive to, you know, the internet. And so I think that's like so exciting for me.
You're incredible. Yeah. Where can people, okay, you have the podcast. They can listen to anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Yes. Yes, Gold Digger Podcast, G-O-A-L, not
yeah, Gold Digger.
and then the book is called How Are You Really? And you can get it literally anywhere books are sold. Although Target is very sold out and it's such a full circle thing. I'm like, I used to literally stock these shelves and now I have a book that's selling out on them. It's bananas.
That's so cool.
And you can find me at Jenna Kutcher everywhere else, Instagram, Twitter. I'm very easy to find, so.
You're the best. Yeah, I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, go follow Jenna, support her, buy the book, listen to the podcast.
I'm going to follow you right now.
Tanya Rad, we're in.
We love you. Thank you so much for taking time and just proud to know you and call you a friend.
Deal. I love you guys. And how do you scrub out? Is there a process? Do people scrub out?
We haven't like? Scrubbed out yet, but maybe you're our first scrubber outer.
I mean, I feel like we need to go wash our hands or something. Yeah,
just Jenna, you're the best. Out. Seriously, thank you so much.
Love you guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, Jenna. Bye. Bye.
Wow.
I got like emotional multiple times.
I know. Let's talk.
I just,
what's going on that little head of yours over there?
Well, I related so much to so much of it of like, we do, I mean, especially in my career is based on what everyone else's like opinion of everything I'm doing.
Right. But the thing that would really hit me was like, she said, is it the fear of failing or is it the fail of the fear of failing publicly?
That's what I'm saying. It's like so true. And I only know this life in my recent years, which is public.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think, I don't know. I don't find her, I just love her because it's very real. It's not like woo woo, like quotes. It's just like very much like, this is what I did and how I did it and what it looked like.
Yeah.
And she's been very honest about everything. I love her. So
damn.
I'm really excited to read her book. Damn. And I think that's what we needed.
Girl, let me tell you.
We needed that.
I needed that. Let me tell you, I needed that.
I needed it too. We love you all.
We love you.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Wonderful weekend.
We'll be back Monday.
We will be back Monday.
And we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by 2 sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.